Live from Kansas City, it's the 2023 Draft Show. Here are your hosts, Zach Gelb and JR.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious fan experience at the 2023 NFL Draft. Welcome inside to CBS Sports Radio's coverage of the NFL Draft live in Kansas City. I'm Zach Gelb, along with JR from the JR Sport Brief Extravaganza. And JR, fun night last night. Some surprises, some people falling out of the first round that we didn't expect, some people going earlier than expected. And here we are, day number two that gets going at the top of the hour for the second round.
Yeah, no, the draft was absolutely amazing. It's cool when you have a draft and you don't know where everybody is going to go and people's predictions go out the window. Like, who wants to wait for the holidays and know what you're going to be gifted? Like, nobody wants that. And so I think a lot of NFL fans, they got a surprise. Some of them not so happy. Some ridiculously happy.
And it really started off with a bang. We all knew that Bryce Young was going to go number one. But then at the second pick, it was C.J. Stroud 2, which it kind of got the sense about like 20 minutes before the start of the draft that C.J. Stroud was probably going to go at 2 after like a month of so many people saying he wasn't. Right. And then you had the big trade up at 3 by the Texans coming up from 12 to go get that pick at 3 to draft Will Anderson. But as always, you know how we do it in this business. It's usually all about the quarterbacks, and Will Levis falls out of the first round. We'll see where he goes tonight. He also had Hendon Hooker, who some people thought could sneak into the back end of the first round. That did not happen. But you look at 1, 2, and 4, quarterback, 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 Bryce Young to the Panthers, C.J. Stroud to the Texans, and Anthony Richardson to the Colts. Let's do kind of like a little expectations for them, premature expectations right out of the gate. You're one for Bryce Young in Carolina. I know Andy Dalton's there, maybe get a few starts in the beginning of the year, kind of like what the Steelers did a year ago, but what do you do?
I don't think so. I think Bryce Young, right out of the gate, being the number one overall pick, he's going to be the dude out of the gate unless he falters. That's Andy Dalton's lot in life right now. He's not on the Saints. This is not the Bengals. He's a vet. And they're going to give Bryce Young every opportunity to go out there and fail before they take the job from him. If he can't earn that job out of training camp, it's not necessarily a hardcore indictment on him just before we even get to games. But he's going to start. I'd be shocked. Unless Bryce Young absolutely sucks, I'd be shocked if Andy Dalton is out there starting.
It wouldn't shock me if it's for like the first 2, 3, 4 games of the season. But then you get into one of those conversations of like, what's actually the point of just throwing Andy Dalton out there for 2, 3, 4 games to kick off the year? We saw with the Steelers last year, I bitched it and complained about it on the radio. It made no sense to me to put Trubisky out there before inevitably going to Kenny Pickett, but that was later on in the first round. We're talking about the first overall pick here.
Yeah, that's part of it. And the other part surrounding Pickett is, you got to think about the team and the standing in the locker room as well. Going to the Carolina Panthers is just a blank slate. Everyone is going to look at Bryce Young and say, hey, this is the dude, number one. He's supposed to take us out of the toilet. He's supposed to give us some type of consistency, something that we haven't had since Cam Newton. In the case of Kenny Pickett, he's the hometown dude. The fans wanted him. But for an organization like the Steelers that's so used to winning coming off after Ben Roethlisberger, you know, Kenny Pickett's going to have to earn his stripes. He's going to have to earn his respect. And, yeah, we know Mitch Trubisky was nothing but a placeholder for Pickett eventually. But I think for the room, for the building, for the dudes who have been there, you got to let Trubisky fail before you say, okay, kid, hometown dude, go ahead, run the show now.
And also, when you look at the situation with the Carolina Panthers, this is a fan base that they're tired of the QB carousel, and hopefully this quarterback does end that QB carousel. I don't think anyone in Carolina, after seeing the quarterbacks they've tried it out recently, is going to be fine with seeing Andy Dalton.
Baker Mayfield was my quarterback, and I had to look at him, if I had to look at Sam Darnold as my quarterback, these are two, and I'm sorry, Giannis, my apologies. These two guys are failures. They're failures.
Hey, but they gave it their all.
Who cares? What, are we going to just give everybody a trophy for trying? That's a whole different conversation. Everybody doesn't need a trophy for showing up. Sorry.
No, I'm with
you.
Not
sorry.
And that's why I think Bryce Young should start week one, but you never know with these organizations. But I will say, you have coaches in that organization that have been professional coaches for a while, like Frank Reich and Josh McCown. You look at Josh McCown, I know he hasn't been coaching for long, but he's pretty much been an assistant coach for the last 10 years in that backup QB role.
I feel
role.
Like McCown is like a – is he a part-time substitute teacher, and now he's a coach? I don't know. I got no issues. Frank Reich, former QB himself, I think he's in a good spot in a good space.
And the only other concern that I have, defensively, I think Carolina is a very good defense. I know Burns with the injury is a little bit of a concern, but they have a really good defense offensively.
Right.
They don't really have much there. Christian McCaffrey no longer there. DJ Moore isn't there. You bring in Adam Thielen, who's solid, but not what he once was. The line is in the best shape that it's been, you know, going off the improvements that they made last year. That could be a reason, even though I think they should play Bryce Young week one because he is NFL ready and he's so intelligent too, and he makes the right decisions and he doesn't put himself in harm's way. We talk about, right, the small concerns for Bryce Young and how he is thinner than some of these shorter quarterbacks that we've seen before. It's not like you have a bevy of weapons out there in Carolina.
No, it's a concern. And this is what – well, I mean, yeah, he's selected number one because the Panthers are garbage, that they need help. This is a reset. But I think when you look at a quarterback like him, you think over the course of time, you want to have a QB who can elevate the dudes around him.
Yeah.
We got QBs in the NFL. Some of them, they start the game, and you know you're going to be behind.
You're screwed.
Yeah, like when is he going to throw the interception? When is he going to fumble the ball? Then you have quarterbacks who just exist. They're in the middle. They're average. And then you got the dudes who you do not want to see at the end of a game. You don't want to see them driving home. And he has that type of potential to elevate the squad and not be a detriment.
And you saw it last year at Alabama. Good offensive line. You had a good running back in Jahmyr Gibbs, who surprisingly went 12th overall in the draft last night to the Detroit Lions. But the wide receivers at Alabama were not the way that we usually look at Alabama wide receivers.
They all got drafted.
On the offensive side of the ball, it's kind of similar to where Bryce Young was last year, where you have Miles Sanders, who's a good running back in this league. You got a solid offensive line, but you don't really have that many talented wide receivers in the building. And Bryce Young last year was very impressive because he was doing more with less than the traditional Alabama weapons.
He was also running around with a busted shoulder. I mean, last season had to be, if you wanted to paint it as such, it's one of the years where you go, the hell is going on with Alabama? I mean, it seemed that everybody on the team and the squad, they either graduated onto the NFL or they were just gone or hurt or injured. And, yeah, they ain't make no playoff, but they were still respectable, and he was hurt for the majority of the year.
So year one, expectations for the Carolina Panthers, and let's operate under the assumption that Bryce Young is playing week one because I think we're both pretty much in agreement there that he should. What do you expect out of the Panthers here in year one in a bad division in the NFC South?
Just nothing. Growing pains. I mean, if they can walk away with 5-6 wins max, that is a complete success.
I think my apex goal would be to try to finish second in that division. The Saints should win that division. The Falcons have a lot of talent, but there's questions at the quarterback position.
The Falcons are good. Even they are going to be.
They're okay.
No, they're good. They're a good team. They finished at about even. They don't get a lot of attention. I'm not necessarily worried about the quarterback. If Ritter does not work, they have enough defense. They have enough offensive weapons and they control the ball. They have an underrated defense. They have an underrated run game. And now you go ahead and add Bijan Robinson. But for the Carolina Panthers, I don't even look at them and go, hey, where do we slide in here in the NFC South? I just want to see development from Bryce and our skill position players.
They did make a push, though, to almost win that division at the end of last year. They were close. If they would have just, if they didn't blow that lead up against Tampa Bay and Brady's now out of that division, you could make, and remember, that, like 8-9 may win that division this year.
That's like looking at a. It's like saying, hey, man, do you want to get shot or stabbed? Like, everybody down there is worse. Have you ever been in, like, one of them Asian markets in Asia?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's just you go through foreign delicacies, and it's just like, do you want to eat a fried cockroach? Do you want to eat? I mean, come on. Like, it's like looking at the NFC South. Like, which one is going to be better? Well, I'll try the cockroach. Well, I mean, you're a loser either way. You don't want to eat it.
What we're doing right now is we're putting lipstick on a pig because this division is a pig.
Yeah,
and it's not crazy to say that the Panthers may finish second in the division.
Sure. But I think internally it's when you draft the QB, I don't think you look at the numbers. I don't think you look at the standings. I think you just go, well, damn, we're getting better. Or he's getting better. Or, wow, we found a steal in this dude. I don't think it's so much about where do we fall in the standings because it doesn't matter. I mean, it's nice to check a box and go, oh, well, we won more games than we wanted to. And, of course, everybody wants to win games. But I think when you're in that stage of building, it's just a matter of we got our guy. And now we can continue to surround him with dudes where the standings do matter.
You, though, are coming from a place of logic, and I do agree with most of what you're saying. David Tepper, though, I don't know how patient he's going to be. And I'm not saying anyone's job is on the line this year. When you look at the number one overall pick, clearly, they drafted him to be their future for the next 10 years. And Frank Reich was just brought in. But I don't think David Tepper's coming in this year and saying, all right, it's a wash year. The expectations changed very quickly where he originally had patience with the last head football coach and it didn't work out. I'm just saying year one, I don't think Tepper's going to be fine with like 4 or 5 wins, which you think they're going to be.
He ain't going to have no choice. He's going to have no choice. I mean, so what? What is he worth? $18 billion? Maybe more than that?
Yeah, probably.
Tough. I mean, that's the real world. I think he lives in it. Otherwise, maybe he doesn't. He got $18 billion. What do you think he's doing right now? Is he being fanned and fed grapes? Like, what is David Tepper doing right now?
I think that he was at the introductory press conference today, which was a scene in Charlotte, North Carolina, when they did introduce Bryce Young. A lot of people were there, too. I was impressed.
He did the press conference. He got on a private plane.
Probably got a steak dinner somewhere tonight.
He's on a
little
beach.
Little caviar.
Yeah, he's on a beach somewhere. You know, he's
maybe an old-fashioned or two.
Yeah, so he's not in the world of reality. But that's the reality for the Panthers.
So we keep it moving here. We just talked about expectations of the Panthers with Bryce Young. Is it more of the same for you with C.J. Stroud with the Houston Texans?
Oh, my God, yeah. Everybody at the top here. Why would the Texans fans, God bless them, they have something to look forward to.
For the first time in a long time.
Oh, my God.
Since Watson, like, was in that division around.
From Watson, and then you got Bill O'Brien, the world's greatest general manager.
Jack Easterby, the character creep, coach.
They call him the church man, right? They call Jack Easterby. Look, the fans in Houston have something to look forward to. They are hardcore football fans for an organization that really hasn't existed for about 20 years. They're hardcore out there, and they appreciate what they have, knowing that the Oilers were gone. And they deserve better because there's a lot of fans in Houston who quit on the Texans.
And I think this is the first time, like you're saying, in a long time, where even though you don't expect much on the field this year, if you're a Texans fan, you could go into the year excited because you finally think you have your coach in DeMeco Ryans instead of the last 2 years just hiring David Culley and Lovie Smith to be placeholders. But also, you now, whether you think he's going to be a star or not, you have your quarterback for the next few years in C.J. Stroud. And even though some people get on them for giving up their true first-round pick next year, they went for it to go get Will Anderson as well. You have all these picks.
Sure.
Eventually, you can't like keep on being Sam Hinkie and just hoard the picks.
Yeah.
You got to go get some talent. That's what the Texans did last night.
No, I'd be thrilled, man. You got whether or not Will Anderson is worth it from coming down from 12, time is going to tell. And the fans got a reason to show back up. And for as much as C.J. Stroud has talked about, he ain't moving. He ain't running. He's not going anywhere. He's going to get a slow introduction. They're going to make that man hand the ball off to Pierce.
Maybe they have Davis Mills with his large neck on the field the first few games of the season.
You know, there's something about long neck quarterbacks. Like, I think this is not a matter.
Mike Glennon.
But you know what? It's not a coincidence that Peyton Manning needed his damn neck cut open.
Yeah.
He got a long-ass neck.
He had a pretty good neck, though, for
so
a while.
So imagine
years.
Getting hit, and there's more space for the whiplash. You know, I'm just saying. I'm not a doctor, but it makes sense to me.
Now, I'm not a doctor either. I would not go to extra school for that. There's no doubt about
can
that.
Can you imagine if a giraffe was in a car accident? I'm just saying, neck swinging. in a safari somewhere, obviously not in a car. It's a lot of neck moving around.
You remember when, have you ever been to one of those safaris where you drive your car through and you're like, you have the food out the window and the giraffes come in?
Yes,
and all that?
It's called the Bronx.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You're right.
I'm from the Bronx, so nobody can say nothing to me.
Zach Gelb and JR here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Just one more on the Texans before we get to Anthony Richardson. The thing I like about what the Texans did, too, you heard the rumors immediately before the draft started that Tennessee was trying to trade up. You did hear today Chris Ballard passionately go after people that just throw out information about some of these young prospects, which is not true, which a lot of people assumed he was talking about C.J. Stroud. What I like what the Texans did is not only did they get C.J. Stroud, who maybe the Colts would have taken at four inside their division, they may have beat Tennessee to trading up to get Will Anderson. So not only did you get maybe a game changer on the defensive side of the ball and you get your quarterback, you also got guys who two teams in your division we assume were interested in.
Yeah, those are those moves where you got to think ahead. Because the Tennessee Titans, my God. They're still in the NFL.
Windows closed.
They're not. It's the XFL. XFL has a championship, right? It's coming up soon.
XFL, USFL, AAF. There's so many throughout these
We
years.
Can't move the Titans there temporarily. Like, we need relegation.
And remember, that team was 7-3 to start off the year.
Crap.
And then they didn't win a game the rest of the way.
I've never believed in this team. Never.
And they got to an AFC championship game with a 10-point lead.
Ryan Tannehill goes from the Miami Dolphins, and now he's a Tennessee Titan, and now he's the greatest thing. He's the most efficient dude. I'd be able to run, well, maybe not because it hasn't worked, but I'd be able to run play action, I believe, with Derrick Henry.
Well, the biggest mistake they made, I do believe Brady wanted to go there years ago. And right before that free agency push started, remember Brady was FaceTiming with Edelman at that Syracuse basketball right. game, and then they were FaceTiming with Vrabel. And then right before free agency started, they give a 4-year deal to Ryan Tannehill. And I go, seemed like they missed their opportunity to really go for it.
Ryan Tannehill is like, he's like food with no seasoning. Like he lacks. He's bland. There's nothing spicy about him. You can't have him as a main dish. He's a side.
He'll fill up your, it's like when I.
He's potatoes.
You know what it is? It's like when I'm trying to eat healthy.
Try.
And I go to Westville, right across the studio.
From the studio, yeah.
And I get the grilled chicken.
Yeah, it's
and
good.
It's just There's plain no, grilled chicken.
They don't have seasoning on it?
A little bit.
I like Westville.
Westville's very good. But you just get some plain grilled chicken. You try to eat a little bit healthy. Get some vegetables. And it fills you up. But it's not like you go, okay, I need a lot more of that grilled chicken.
Forget New York City. We're here in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. I've been eating like a pig.
You have. You've had.
Yeah. Burn ends. I've had a bunch of brisket, ribs. The baked beans, cheesy corn. I had a carrot
cheesy
cake,
corn.
Cupcake.
Was that today or a combination of multiple
combination.
Days?
Combination. We were at Q39 and then Jack Stacks.
So are you saying that Kansas City has the best barbecue in the entire country?
It's pretty damn good. Now, I've not been
to all the
places.
Don't get hit from any. There's plenty of.
I'm going to be like a politician here.
Okay. Don't get hit. If somebody tries to hit you, I'm going to move out the way. You're
bigger
than me.
You were talking about participation trophies earlier. Now, right. I'm going to be a politician.
Please.
It's I've had Houston barbecue, Texas barbecue, very good. Uh-oh. Kansas City barbecue I love. But I hear in North Carolina, the barbecue is pretty damn good, too.
Okay. All right. There's a little bit of wavering there, but. We're good.
It's good. I haven't had a bad meal here.
The people here will appreciate that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. You walk around, and just the smells
of
barbecue is just delicious.
I walked by a building in downtown, and all I saw was exhaust, and then I walked through it, and I thought I was like, I smell like I've been through barbecue.
And one more, Richardson to the Colts. My expectation this year, a lot of fantasy points.
Oh, yeah.
He sees the field early.
Hey, we got
Gardner Minshew. Don't forget about that mustache.
We got a 3rd and 5. Let's send Anthony out there. Let's see if he can get 5 and then multiples of it on the way to the end zone. And so, yeah, he's going to be a gadget player. He's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be cool to see how they utilize both him and Jonathan Taylor when you think about short yardage situations. And they should be creative. Should be creative with Anthony Richardson. He's not going to be tasked with going out there and definitely, obviously, not being Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck. So I think it's a good spot for him. It's a good place to start off his NFL career. So that should be fun.
Also, JR, they may get really creative because, according to their owner, Crazy Jim Irsay, they may be going for the next young Montana when they have already Anthony Richardson. They want two quarterbacks. That's what Jim Irsay was tweeting about today. He goes, should we take Will Levis and go get him out there? How about Jim Irsay?
Is Jim Irsay still... He's clean, right?
I would assume so.
Okay.
I hope so, for his sake.
Let's see what noise they want to cause. Look, what is the old adage? If you got two quarterbacks, you...
You don't have any quarterbacks.
Look, if you want to have a controversy, then by all means, go out there and do it. I think it's a dumb way to hoard assets. Eventually, still, you're going to have to move one of them in due time.
Yeah, I don't think he was being serious. I don't know why he threw that out there. He was just, I guess, being
a billionaire.
A pot stirrer a little bit. But
a what stirrer?
A pot stirrer.
Oh, okay.
He was stirring the pot.
Oh, okay.
It's like Stregonona, stirring the pot.
He was stirring it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was stirring the pot.
I'm
the NFL
sure he
draft
was.
Pot.
He may have been doing some other stuff,
yeah.
But anyway.
you want to hear someone who was very annoyed about that Jim Irsay tweet?
I'm sure Mr. Richardson.
Guy to my left.
Oh, Hickey.
Hickey.
That's
we walked here today from the hotel. And while we're walking here, 10 minutes, I felt like I was a therapist. He is just screaming for 10 minutes about Jim Irsay and how Anthony Richardson should already request a
Hickey,
trade.
You don't want to speak? So you don't want to say anything here about this?
Well, you know, Zach just... eloquently put, it was 10-minute rant of, yes, if I'm Anthony Richardson, I say, Colts, thank you. I'm getting out of here. I'm not working for this crazy man, who also, if you saw, dyed his hair and looks even crazier than normal.
Excuse me, what?
So he's got, like, gold rust. Jim Irsay.
Jim Irsay. He looks like an Oompa Loompa.
I told you. You said he was stirring the pot. He was doing something else with it.
And now he wants to draft two quarterbacks and has gold hair. So things are not looking up right now, JR.
He's been hanging out with Vince McMahon. That's a bad idea.
That's a great point. Not good.
You have to go get your mans. That's what you have to do because Jim needs to shut up. All right, Zach Gelb, JR here with you. CBS Sports Radio's coverage of the NFL draft. The second round gets underway at the top of the hour. When we come on back, the big story from last night in the green room, which, by the way, I would have loved to have been sitting next to Will Levis with the beautiful women that were around him.
You could probably take her from him right now because he's a loser so far. It's still time for him to get drafted, but he's a loser today.
Yeah, I don't think I would win out that one.
Okay,
but anyway,
okay.
Will Levis did fall out of the first round. Hendon Hooker did not go as well. Where will the quarterbacks go, and will they go early tonight? We'll talk about that. He's JR. I'm Zach Gelb coming on back from Kansas City after these short messages.
Broadcasting live from the NFL Draft in Kansas City, it's Zach Gelb and JR on CBS Sports Radio.
Gelb and JR rocking and rolling from Kansas City, the site of the 2023 NFL Draft. First round did get complete last night. The second round will commence in about 30 minutes, and you'll have rounds 2 and 3 right here on CBS Sports Radio. JR, I feel like this is a tradition unlike any other, and no, we are not at the Masters, but last year I remember it felt like this show turned out to be, when is Malik Willis going to go? And we were sitting here and we were waiting and we were guessing and we were waiting all through the second round. Then Desmond Ridder goes in the third round. Eventually, you did see Malik Willis. The two big names quarterback-wise that we're going to be guessing a lot about are Will Levis, who some people thought could go as soon as 2 in this NFL draft. And then also Hendon Hooker, who was thought to be a late first-round pick. How early do you think these two guys are going to go tonight, and who do you think is going to go first? Will it be Levis or will it be Hendon Hooker?
Oh, man. Ooh, that's a tough one. For the first answer, I don't think it's going to be long for either of these dudes to be drafted once we get
Pittsburgh
into the second.
Trades the pick.
Yeah, Pittsburgh may move. Arizona, are you all that confident that they won't bring in a quarterback as a safety net for whenever?
Not now. I don't think now.
But then even after them, Detroit, possibility.
Agreed.
Indianapolis Colts, we just talked about that. Look, this is the same team that brought in Jeff Saturday off of television and thought that, oh, well, this is my buddy, this is my friend, let me go ahead and hire him.
And won his first game.
And then what else did he do? He choked away one of the biggest leads you'll ever see in your life.
Against the Vikings,
and
yeah.
So I'm not going to put anything past the Indianapolis Colts, the Rams.
Could be. Stafford.
They could take a QB. The Raiders pop up again at 38. Saints at 40. The Tennessee Titans at 41. I wouldn't be shocked if both Hendon Hooker and Will Levis went not back-to-back, but went in close proximity early on in the second.
What about the Seahawks sitting in at 37? I think the Seahawks are similar to the Lions, where they have a guy who is good and who is fine, but I don't think anyone's looking at Geno Smith and Jared Goff as franchise quarterbacks.
No, you'd bring in somebody that you would want to develop, so I'm not putting it past them either. Does anybody really think Geno Smith is going to be there for the next, I don't know, 8 years?
No.
Hell no. He doesn't even think that. That's why he's happy he got a check. And so I don't know if the Seahawks will go QB, maybe later on.
But I think the fit's important, because if you're a team like Seattle or Detroit, then you go Will Levis, because that's the developmental player. If it's Hendon Hooker, he's already 25 years old, and I think he's NFL ready right now. Hendon
sure.
Hooker.
I think he would be a better fit for a team like the Tennessee Titans, where he could, hey, here's Ryan Tannehill. Okay, we don't want him no more. Hendon looks like he's pretty damn good. Let's put him out there. And you might just have hit the jackpot in regards to continuity and in still being some type of competitor. What the heck is going on out here?
It's a Play 60 event right here. You got some kids excited to go tackle some dummies out there.
All I see is a bunch of excited kids. Good for them.
So when I look at the quarterbacks, I do think, I don't know why, I'm going to say Hooker goes before Will Levis. The Will Levis fall, and I don't know what the motives were, why there was all this information that he was going to go in the top five. I do think the only team that really did seriously consider him in the top five was the Indianapolis Colts, and
yes,
they ended up making the decision with Anthony Richardson.
Agreed.
Which I guess from a fit standpoint, you have your new coach, Shane Steichen, who just really developed a two-way quarterback
in
Jalen Hurts. It made more sense to go get Anthony Richardson, who I think there's more upside than Will Levis.
Yeah. No,
but I don't know why there was this thought that like it was a foregone conclusion he was going to the top five. Like, that's one of the craziest falls I've ever seen.
Do you remember why, despite how fat he was, Jamarcus Russell went with the Raiders? It's because everybody was so excited about his physical skills
and
his talent and what can he do. We got videos of Will Levis like crouched down on his knees throwing a football. I don't need my lower body to you know, exert power, generate power. I can just use my arm. And so that sales job didn't work this time.
It also frustrates me in the draft process. And I know everyone loves the words highest ceiling. I got to see it. And
yeah,
I know you could go and run in shorts and a T-shirt.
Underwear Olympics.
Yeah, and you go throw the ball 50, 60 yards down the field, and you could run a fast 40. Will Levis, 2 years ago, I said, okay, he could be a good quarterback. And then this past year at Kentucky, I know there was a lot of moving pieces. I never saw that from Will Levis where I was like, wow, I got to have him. And the same for really Anthony Richardson. There was like two games last year where I said, okay, Anthony Richardson looks like he'd be a good quarterback, but I never saw it consistently those two.
Ain't nothing happened with the Gators or Kentucky. And I know people will easily point that. Well, look at the talent around them and look at what they're doing.
That worked out okay for him.
Sure. And yeah, there's going to be some occasions where the wide receiver is in the wrong spot or the ball gets tipped and then it's an interception and it always counts on you, not on anybody else. But the fact is, man, you're still the one making a lot of the decisions. And so whether it's, you know, odd food choices, whether it's his toe injury, whether you have to think about is he going to be a gunslinger, there were safer bets and options at QB, and they took him. And he had to sit there in the green room looking miserable, being consoled by, who I will assume, his girlfriend and then also his
sisters.
Mom. His sisters. Mm-hmm. I saw mom came and give him a big hug, and he gave one of those, all right, Mom, you're embarrassing me.
You're exactly
right. It's like,
right,
you're making me seem like a loser by hugging me, Mom. Like, get off of me.
And if I was in the green room and my mom was there, I'm sure she'd be giving me a hug too, but I'd be like, Ma, there's cameras around.
Save this for later. Hug me later.
Yeah, hug me later when I actually get drafted. And I thought it was funny. The sister was like waving, and then it was like, okay, you just see his family there, and then I'm assuming it's his girlfriend. She got into the fold as well.
It's crazy how your mother your mother mothered you, but it's one thing how your mother can mother you and make you look like a loser at the same time.
By the way, Hickey, I don't know if you saw this video, and correct me if I'm wrong. Every year it seems like a dad gets a little too touchy.
With who?
With the player's girlfriend. What, was it Lucas Van Ness
somebody
yesterday?
Slapped somebody's right? butt?
I know the tush push is the big play that. In the NFL. It was a little like 1-2 slap on the tuchus.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Are you looking at a different NFL? Do I need to look at that one?
Lucas Van Ness, sure.
Tell me, I'll look for that. It's yeah. It's on Twitter?
Yeah.
It's not on another website?
And I don't think he has an OnlyFans, I'll say that.
Who?
The dad. I don't think the dad had an OnlyFans. The 1-2 touch that he was doing.
I don't
want
to see nobody's dad's OnlyFans. I don't want that. No thanks.
Zach
you said it's his guy's girlfriend?
I would assume it was his girlfriend.
I'll look her up.
If it was his sister, then there's some problems there.
Doesn't matter to me. I'm not related to any of them.
Zach Kelvin, JR, here with you from the 2023 NFL Draft. JR brought up the Cardinals. We'll get to them next. Is Kyler Murray's future in doubt? We'll discuss. But first, let's send it back to our New York City studios and get the latest CBS Sports Radio update with the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
It's the 2023 Draft Show on CBS Sports Radio. Here are your hosts, Zach Gelb and JR.
Zach Gelb and JR here with you from the 2023 NFL Draft in Kansas City. The big story from last night about the players who did not get selected, Will Levis at the top of that list. And JR, I know we throw these quarterbacks and all these players underneath the microscope.
Yeah.
And sometimes you may look into things and you're like, should that really matter? But I really think the interview process and everything that went on social media that, like, at first people thought was, like, funny and good with Will Levis, I think it could have rubbed some teams the wrong way. Like, I'm not saying he didn't get drafted in the first round because of the mayo in the coffee and also eating a banana without unpeeling it, but that stuff is a little bit weird, and I wondered if it did teams look at him a different way.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Look, these general managers and presidents and scouts, like, they're human beings. They're humans. They see it.
And you're going to be a face of the franchise if you're a quarterback.
I'm like, okay, why you make – so we can sit around and talk about S2 and Wunderlich test, right?
Which is dumb.
We can do that. I can also make an assumption by looking at a guy who decides to eat a banana without unpeeling it. Like, I'm like, whoa, this is a savage right here. Like, what's wrong with this guy? And now he's making jokes about it. You trying to get into the NFL, just shoot the straight and narrow. Be yourself. God bless you. But just keep it about football, man. We don't need all this extra stuff. What is he doing? Putting peanut butter in lasagna, too? Like, what is he doing?
That would be a sin. That would really annoy me. My grandmother right now, She's going nuts over that comment.
She should slap the hell out of him
with a wooden spoon.
Yes, come on, you can't do these things.
You know, we do have someone that resembles Will Levis here at CBS Sports Radio.
We got somebody who eats a banana without unpeeling it.
No, but
facial in the face.
Now make some bizarre social media posts. There is someone here at CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, do you have a guess here? Who do you think is the Will Levis at CBS Sports Radio? Because there's one
on
person.
Air? They're on air?
Yes, they do get on-air shifts.
They do get on-air shifts, so they're not on air all the time.
They're not on air Monday through Friday. But very much about putting himself out there on social media, showing off the body, doing things to his body to get a...
Doing things to his body?
To get a reaction, yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
Do you know who I'm referring to, Hickey? Go ahead. You want to say the name?
All right, on three. 1, 2, 3. Pat Boyle.
Yeah. Pat Boyle just dyeing his hair blonde one day. Look at this photo that he just posted on Twitter a few seconds ago. Flexing for the cameras.
That's Pat?
That's Pat. He wants to be, I think, Will Levis. If he starts putting mayo in his coffee, it would not surprise me whatsoever.
Ask Pat if he does. Ask him.
All right, I'll text Pat Boyle
during the
break.
Hey, what did you put in your coffee? What did he have, pre-workout?
Yeah.
Ask him what else he put in there. I don't know.
All righty. So let's
I haven't seen Pat in months. Y'all are in New York. I'm in Georgia. I haven't seen Pat since, I don't know, October, September.
I like Pat. Will Levis vibes, though. Big Will Levis vibes from Pat Boyle.
Well, at least Pat got a job. Shout outs to Pat.
Oh, Will Levis, I think, will have a job by the end of tonight.
Yeah, he'll see how long he has.
You really have no sympathy for Will Levis. back in that green room just falling.
I don't. He's got, like you said, he's gonna get a job. He's gonna have an opportunity. What he does with it is up to him.
I don't remember.
Welcome to life. Giannis said this. It's life, man. Are you going to fail or you going to sink? You going to swim? That's up to him now.
I don't remember a guy since Aaron Rodgers that was projected to go in the first round and then did fall like the top five and then fell that far. But to fall out of the first round, that's got to be unprecedented to be projected at times. Not a slam dunk, but a lot of people thought he was going to go in the top five what the gambling odds were. And to fall to the first round entirely, I don't remember that from a quarterback position in forever.
Well, you can look at Lamar Jackson. Was it an expectation that he'd be taken last in the first round? I don't think so.
No, and I defended Lamar. I like Lamar coming out of Louisville, but you did have people like Bill Polian saying that he should have been moved to a running back.
Sure, but it's still like, oh, my God, here we have another dude who's just sitting there, and it's like, is
Geno Smith?
Is he? Yeah, Geno coming out of West Virginia.
People thought he'd be a first rounder.
But when you look at Lamar and you look at his accolades in school and then sitting there and now the camera's on him and the first thing he does when he talks is like, hey, I'm going to help take this team to a Super Bowl. And he hasn't done that yet, but he certainly won an MVP. He certainly has gone to the playoffs.
Here's my second favorite quarterback in that draft class.
Those first couple, what, after Josh Allen?
No, I didn't really know much about
you mean,
Josh Allen.
You mean going into the draft?
Going in, I liked Sam Darnold 1 and then Lamar Jackson 2.
Yeah, Sam Darnold does a little too much seeing things. He also got the mononucleosis.
Yes,
so,
which is not good. I thought you could only get that when you were like in college or when you were in high school.
I'm not gonna, not gonna indict myself, but I've been in some places with Sam Darnold and I've seen him leave, so I just leave it there.
Have you ever had mono?
Me? No, oh. No, I've never had mono, but I've seen who he leaves places with.
Okay, gotcha.
And okay. I go, okay. I've seen Sam Darnold get in a Corolla with five women.
So it doesn't surprise
Sorry,
you.
I said it. My bad. I went home. I don't know where he went. Sorry.
JR operates under the Tom Coughlin method. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
I know what's open after 2 a.m. Waffle House.
The Trevor Lawrence type of Waffle House?
Waffle House.
Wasn't it Shep? Was it Shep on your show that was talking about strippers or something at Waffle House?
Somebody suggested that I take Shep to Waffle House in Georgia. He said that there would be strippers at the Waffle House. And I said, Shep said he doesn't want to do that. And I said, that's okay, that's fine. It's fine by me.
I don't know if Shep's a fun time. I love Shep, but I don't know if he's a fun time.
I haven't taken him out. I mean...
No offense, Hickey. I think next year they should send Shep out here just so we could see what Shep is like in the wild.
Where? Detroit?
Detroit.
Oh.
You may need a strip club to have fun there.
Whoa, be easy. I like Detroit. I like Detroit. Nice place.
So getting back to the draft last night, there's two ways that you can have a takeaway on what the Texans did. I think it was time to use the picks. I'm okay with giving away your first-round pick next year. And they have another one from the Deshaun Watson trade, but it was their own first-round pick, which you could say is going to be a top-five pick.
Right.
But you got to eventually get some talent in there. They did that with not only getting C.J. Stroud, but then doubling down and giving away that first-rounder for Will Anderson. And there's a lot of people that are praising the Texans for it, but then there are people that are saying the Texans giving away their own first-rounder and not the Browns' first-rounder is a massive mistake.
Yeah, they had some options there. But if you look at the past several years for the Texans, can you be upset? It's like one of those things you just kind of shrug your shoulders and
at least they're finally trying to turn this thing
around.
Yeah,
you shrug your shoulders and go, well, we've had worse, we've done worse. I mean, at least we got something here.
That's why I'm excited today if I'm a Texans fan.
Yeah, you
I'm thrilled. I'm doing backflips, somersaults in the streets.
We should go
I'm
to
pumped up.
We should go to Houston tomorrow.
Compare the barbecue.
Oh, yeah, that and hang out with they're happy down there. I know they are.
They have to be. They haven't had anything to be happy about since they were up, 24 points in that divisional round game up against the Chiefs, and then after that, it's been a mess ever since.
Is Bill O'Brien still an OC, or did he come back? Oh, that's right. He's with Belichick now.
Yeah.
Well, as long as he ain't making moves or making decisions, and I think we're in a good spot.
And Easterby's far away. But I look at this more so, I was fascinated by the first-round pick. Not that the Texans gave it away, but they gave it away to the Arizona Cardinals, who, with their own first-round pick, are going to be bad next year. And then they're going to have the Texans' first-round pick. If they're not in the first two picks of the draft, which I think the Cardinals will be one way or another next year, you're going to be having a lot of ammunition to trade up if there is a team picking one or two that doesn't need a quarterback with the guys that everyone's talking about. Caleb Williams, who's a rock star, just won the Heisman at USC. And then also Drake May, which a lot of people like from UNC.
What does this mean for Mr. Murray, though?
I think his career in Arizona is on life support when Monty Ossenfort and also Jonathan Gannon have no connections to him. He probably won't even play.
Time is gone.
Maybe halfway through the season at best. You're probably looking at the last five, six games of the season, you would think. And that time is going to be ticking. And you could, from a cap standpoint, the dead cap is outrageous to get rid of him next year. But then after that, it does kind of mellow out where it's acceptable to trade him. There may be next year, after this football season wraps up and you go through the draft, it wouldn't shock me if Kyle Murray has some company in that quarterback room.
Yeah, he's on borrowed time, man. We don't know what his status is going to be heading into the season. He's on borrowed time.
And his leadership skills, as we talked about with Kelvin Beachum, were called into question big time.
Yeah, but then they tried to clean it up. There's no cleaning it up. And when the organization wants to put a clause in there about how much you need to study, say no more. It doesn't matter what comes out of his mouth. Oh, I wouldn't be in this position as small as I am if I didn't study. It's disrespectful. Man, you should feel you're disrespecting yourself. To even have the thought out there that you don't work hard enough, man, look in the mirror. Stop worrying. Everybody wants to worry about what somebody else or the pundits are saying about you, man. Just you show up. Do what you have to do and do what you can control. Don't go online playing stupid Call of Duty if you don't want to send out a vibe that this is what you do.
And I feel like whenever someone does talk about Kyler Murray, I'm talking about his teammates, they talk about his potential. And potential means you haven't done it yet. They all know what the physical upside is with the tools that he does have. But he's got to put in more work and he's got to be more focused on being a leader and a franchise quarterback. And once people start doubting you, I think it's very tough to change that perception.
It is. You got to show up and do the work, not talk, do the work.
And I really do believe that next year when we're at the draft, the Cardinals are going to find a way to get either Caleb Williams or Drake May. And then they'll go from Josh Rosen to Kyler Murray. And then eventually one of those two quarterbacks, whether it's the USC quarterback or the UNC quarterback as well. The second round is about to get underway, coming up in about 5 minutes. He's JR, I'm Zach Gelber, coming on back CBS Sports Radio's coverage from the 2023 NFL Draft.